Welcome to the 19th installment of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will once again discuss positive commandment number 73, the commandment to make a verbal confession, or vidui dvarim, upon doing tshuva or repentance for a misdeed. We have discussed this commandment several times over the past 2 days, and therefore we'll merely summarize what the Rambam says in Sefer HaMitzvahs and go into a deeper discussion of this idea. The Rambam states that this vidui, this verbal confession, must be specific. A person must say, please God. He must admit his sin and say, chatosi avisi pashati, that I have done different sorts of sins, and then specify, vasisi kach vakach. He must verbally state exactly what he has done. Nobody must hear this. However, it must be verbally stated exactly what he has done wrong, and he must say this out explicitly and as eloquently as possible and ask for atonement and forgiveness from Hashem. The Rambam then goes on a rather long and technical discussion of about exactly when and under what conditions this commandment applies. First, the Rambam says that even when we have a specific indication in the Torah that by bringing a sacrifice one will achieve atonement, nevertheless, for full atonement, the sacrifice, to be effective, must be accompanied by a verbal confession by vidui. However, one might think that it only applies by such cases. As Rambam quotes in the Chilta, which quotes a verse in the book of Leviticus, which implies that only when one has entered the temple in an impure state, which requires a sacrifice, only in that case must he issue this verbal confession. How do we know other mitzvahs as well? And the Rambam quotes other verses showing that all positive commandments must be accompanied, in other words, neglect of a positive commandment must be accompanied by tshuva and vidui confession, and so too any prohibition. Certainly, cases where one is punishable by death, the execution must be preceded by a confession, and in the case of violating any prohibition, one must also issue this verbal confession. And so too in commandments which are interpersonal, such as theft and undesirable speech, lashon hara, in any of these cases, although the primary first step must be to correct the damage which has been done to the other person, nevertheless, afterwards, since it is ultimately a sin against God as well, one must again issue this verbal confession of vidui. And so to other cases such as false oaths and cursing also are accompanied by this verbal confession. The one exception which the Rambam lists, quoting the Mechilta, is that in a case where one has had false witnesses testify against him, how can he issue a verbal confession, since he has not done this particular sin, that since the witnesses have false and said he did do it, how can he confess when he himself knows that he did not do it? However, in his legal code, the Rambam points out that the law is he must nevertheless confess, because if we allow a person to decline the confession as a result of false testimony, then there will never be any confessions, because every criminal will say that he has been the victim of false testimony, and therefore will not confess. Therefore, the Rambam says, we have proved that this law of vidui applies by all the commandments. We might think, however, quoting the Mechilta again, that it applies only at the time when sacrifices are offered, since we see the primary obligation of confession goes together with the sacrifices. Therefore, the Rambam proves from the Mechilta that it applies all of the time. And so, too, we might think it applies only in the land of Israel. But again, we have a proof from the book of Daniel, who was outside the land of Israel, that he himself asked for forgiveness on behalf of the Jewish people, and also took part in this vidui dvarim, or verbal confession. Therefore, he summarizes from the Sifra that this is a positive commandment coming from the verse, vizvada, that we are required to confess, and all of the details are discussed, concludes the Rambam, in the last chapter of the tractate Yuma. Why is it that we need both of these different actions? Rather, the feeling of tshuva, a person makes the firm decision and resolution not to return to his previous path of behavior. He regrets what he has done in the past and makes a firm, positive resolution for the future. That is one step. Why, in addition, do we have to have the verbal declaration, the verbal vidui, the confession, which is described explicitly here in this commandment? In Derech Mitzvasecha, the Tzemach Tzedek explains how, according to Chassidus, why it is we need both of these different actions, both of these different categories. The Tzemach Tzedek explains that through a misdeed, when a person does an Aveda, he creates a spiritual existence. Just as human beings are created with a body and a soul, so too, as a result of a sin that we have performed, we create also a spiritual existence. And this spiritual existence contains both a body and a soul. However, they are created from two different sources. When a person does a sin, he has the action of the sin, and he has the desire which impelled him and drew him to do this particular misdeed. And this taiva, this desire to do the sin, creates the soul of the klippa, the Tzemach Tzedek says. However, the body of this klippa, the body which he has created, comes from the actual deed itself. So therefore we have in the klippa, in the spiritual existence which has created, a body and a soul. The soul coming from the taiva, the desire for the sin, and the body from the actual sin itself. How then do we wipe out any trace of the sin? When a person does tshuva, he rips away his desire for this sin. He regrets having done it, and he resolves not to do it in the future. And therefore he pulls away the soul which he previously created as a result of this sin. And the soul of the klippa disappears, since there is no longer any desire whatsoever for such a sin. And since this particular soul, so to speak, of the klippa was created through his desire, once the desire goes away, the soul goes away. However, the body, the action which was done, still is in existence. Since he did the act and he cannot change the act, this body, so to speak, meaning the spiritual counterpart of a body, is still in existence and does not disappear merely as a result of the person's regret. Therefore, we are commanded to make a verbal confession, to actually move our lips and do an action and declare our regret for exactly what we have done. And when we describe our sin in detail, the act of our moving our lips itself is considered to be an action, and therefore nullifies any of this which we previously created as a result of our misdeed. Since it was created through action, it can be wiped out through action. And in this case, the action is the moving of our lips. Therefore, we are required to say vidui orally and physically, to move our lips, not only say it in our mind, since we are required to destroy both parts, both traces of the sin, both that corresponding to the soul as a result of the desire and that corresponding to the body as a result of the action itself. This is also one of the explanations for the verse in the book of Psalms, which we say in Kriya Shema Shalamita, the Shema we say at night, V'chatosi negdi samid. King David said that my sins are constantly in front of me. What did he mean? The Tzemach Tzedek explains that even though a person might have done tshuva, there is still a trace of his sin which is remaining. Once he has done the sin, it not only existed for a fleeting moment, but he created a spiritual existence as the result of his misdeed. And therefore, since he has not yet wiped it out, it is constantly standing in front of him, and as explained further in Kabbalah, that it comes to bother him and interfere with him. Only as a result of vidui, after first doing tshuva, taking away any desire to return to this sin, and then verbally confessing, only then does the trace of the sin disappear as well, and no longer disturbs the person. However, there's an even deeper step, a further step, in this verse, V'chatosi negdi somi, that my sin is constantly in front of me. That even after the person has done tshuva, has repented, and also has made the verbal confession, nevertheless, since a person is constantly advancing in his service of his Creator, what yesterday was considered to be a full-hearted tshuva, today is not considered to be sufficient. And therefore, although He has wiped out any trace of the sin from a previous, from his previous tshuva. Nevertheless, on his higher level, this is also considered to be a blemish. As the example is sometimes given, that a blemish which might not be visible on a blue shirt would be visible on a white shirt. So since the person has come to the level of being a white shirt, has advanced in his spiritual development, now is holding on a higher level. And although the tshuva was already done, nevertheless, the person must continue to do tshuva once again. This is also brought down in halacha, in the code of Jewish law, that on Yom Kippur, when a person says vidui, the verbal confession for his sins, he doesn't only confess for those sins which he did in the past year. He also includes those which were from past years, even those which he has already said the vidui for. That since he has come on a higher level as a result of his spiritual advancement throughout the year, or years, he therefore must do tshuva again. Although his tshuva was certainly proper, and certainly for the level he was on, it was complete, nevertheless, he is required to advance and do an even deeper tshuva and wipe out a further trace of this sin. The tremendous power of tshuva can be demonstrated in the statement of the Zohar that tshuva can be attained in even a single moment. As explained also in the Talmud, in the story of Elazar ben Dardoi, who was someone that had sinned all over the world, and actually if he ever found an immoral woman that he had not approached, he would make a special effort to do so, just to do another violation of the Torah. Once he found of a certain woman he had not yet met, and went to great efforts in order to approach her. When he did, she informed him that Elazar ben Dardoi, your tshuva, your repentance would never be accepted. And being shaken to his very roots, he ran out to the mountains and hills and begged them that they should entreat God to have mercy upon him. However, they refused. He went then and begged the heavens and the earth, and they refused. Then the sun and the moon, and then the stars and constellations, and all of them said they could not beg that there should be mercy upon him. At this point he said that it is only dependent on me, no one else can help me. And as the Talmud relates, he put his head between his knees, and he cried and cried until his soul left his body and he died. At this point, Bochar Rebbe, the Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, cried, and he said, there are some people that gain their portion in the world to come as a result of many years, but there is someone who gained a portion in the world to come in one moment, and this was Rebbe Elazar ben Dardoi, as the title Rebbe was added to him since he had done such a tremendous tshuva, he had erased any trace of his past sins and was considered to be Rebbe Elazar ben Dardoi. How could it be that tshuva has this power to completely reverse an entire lifetime in just a few moments? It is explained in Chassidus that there are many levels of the Jewish soul. The fifth and highest level of the soul is Yechidah Shebenefesh, the total oneness of the soul which is indivisible and which is identical by every single Jew. And on this level of the soul there is total unity, and there is no division whatsoever. And when one does such a deep tshuva that this deep level of the soul is aroused and brought up into operation, then there are no boundaries whatsoever. That since Yechidah Shebenefesh is totally united with Hashem, once one goes back to one's source and back to one's root and back to one's inner self and reveals this tremendous inner power, there are no limitations of time, no limitations of space. And a complete tshuva can be made, and a complete life can be turned over from one extreme to the other as a result of the release of this tremendous power of the neshama of Yechidah Shebenefesh. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a shiur, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.